Hey, radio listeners, happy Thanksgiving. Hope you had a good one. This is the weekend, and this is the Hooli's Hooli on 1240 AM. We're going to take you back with a little compilation episode of some of our favorite moments. So sit back and enjoy.
Hey, come on, man. What do you expect? It was corduroy season.
Player, were you ever a turkey bowl guy? You ever get up and play in the turkey bowl?
I've done a couple turkey bowls, more with, we used to do it in college, a bunch of friends. I think we did it once.
I can never get into it, man.
It's just,
usually it's pretty cold.
I don't
this year,
a lot of physical contact, even though I played high school football, but after that I was kind of like, I just want my squares and I don't want anybody to touch me.
Yeah, I played Tecmo Bowl in my basement for turkey bowl now.
Yeah, that's the way. That's why you should still do it. That's why kids are going to be doing it in the next 10 years because parents don't want their kids playing football anymore.
Well, you always see the guys.
Our kids are in a video football game league.
Right.
What's that mean?
Yeah.
Well, every week Jordan gets to be Peyton Manning and then Joe over there gets to be Tom Brady and he gets to be Adrian Peterson and they all play each other.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's a video game, but they build their own teams and they play against each other. It's a battle of wits.
Uh-huh. And then the one kid loses and still punches the other kid. So it's still...
Yeah.
Physically harmful. throws the controller at him.
Yeah. Hey, this is the Hooli's Hooli. We're on 1240 AM. It's Bill and Patty Houlihan.
Yeah.
This show is Clay O'Brien's joining us this week as well. We are presented
by McCann's Irish Oatmeal, man.
That's right. If you're ever, you know, on Thanksgiving morning, you're a little hungover.
Absolutely. Perfect remedy.
Perfect remedy.
Big bowl.
Have a bowl of oatmeal with your turkey. That works out too, you know?
Yeah.
Good. It's hearty. It's yummy. Uh-huh. They got cinnamon flavored, maybe pumpkin flavored oatmeal. Put a little pumpkin in your oatmeal.
There you go.
All right.
Do that. That's what Charlie Sheen does every morning. Puts a little pumpkin in his oatmeal.
Really?
That's what I've been told.
So tell me about Boston. What happened?
Nothing. You know, had a good time. Went out there.
Yeah.
Had some seafood. Some chowder.
Some chowder. Some seafood.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have a lot of time to roam around, really.
As a Chicagoan, did you find it a lot of similarities to Chicago? Because a lot of people always say that. Oh, Boston kind of reminds them of Chicago a little bit. Did you see that or did you think that or no?
I think just to the working class people.
It's yeah.
about the only thing that's connected to it. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Boston's a hard-working union town, though. And you can see that right up front when you get there. So,
sure.
Yeah, sure, you see some similarities there.
Yeah.
Their infrastructure and the public works in Boston is pretty nice, man.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's the one thing I noticed, at least while I was over there. I was like, man, this city's pretty clean.
Oh, it's clean, yeah.
I was in a nice part, though. You know, it's like...
Right.
If you went to Lincoln Park and you were like, Chicago's nice, you know? What are they talking about? Where are these shootings? I don't know.
Yeah,
you know, I'd be like, no, you only went three blocks, buddy.
Right. You weren't staying over at 70th and Ashland.
I didn't want to wander off because I didn't know anybody. And like Boston's a town where you go, hey, I'm new here. They go,
no
ba-dunk.
Right.
Like immediately like, look at this sucker. Let's roll him. You know, so
uh-huh.
Didn't want to do too much of that.
You were only there for what, like 2 or 3 days?
Yeah, 3.5, 4 days.
Okay.
So it was... Nice. I shared a room.
I was going to say that. Now, you shared a room as a grown man. You shared a room with
another grown man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not that I'm not married to or related to.
And
yeah.
You didn't grow up with him either. He's just a business coworker, right?
My desk buddy, dude. Yeah. No, he's my boss.
Is there some special bonding now that you guys have a good relationship now that you've shared a room on a business trip together? Is there going to be a better dynamic between the two of you?
We're brothers.
You brothers now?
Yeah, we're Payline brothers, for
Payline
sure.
Payline brothers, yeah.
We had a great time. A lot of laughs. You got to have a sense of humor about it at the end, because we were like, we're a young company. We're out there on the hustle, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that you're going to come across when you got to get to city to city.
Did he cope with your snoring?
He had earplugs. How about that?
Come on.
We're soulmates, I'm telling you, man.
But how would he come prepared with earplugs? Did you say, hey, I have a pretty heavy snorer or anything like that? Or?
No, he's like an earplugs guy anyway. Like he,
really?
Yeah, when he does his work at work, you know, he's got his earbuds in. Don't talk to me. I'm concentrating, doing my stuff.
Wow.
He's a very chill guy, you know?
Yeah.
So, no, you know.
Do you want to share his name over the air or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. God, I would never think that far ahead. Like, hey, better bring my earbuds. I don't know about this guy I'm staying with. I probably would have just drank a half a bottle of booze and passed out.
I did do that one day while I was there. Well, I mean, I didn't get like hammered or anything, but I did go out and went to a bar called the Tam, right across the street from the hotel. Pretty cool little like Irish bar, kind of an Irish dive bar where all the kids from Emerson College hang out.
Oh, really? A lot of comedians, huh?
Yep. So I hung out there.
Who are the comedians from Emerson College?
And then I went into this place called Cure, which was like a nightclub across the street.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, and like fog machines and chicks like waving little, like, what do they have? They can't do fireworks in clubs.
Glow sticks, right?
Yeah, it's glow sticks and a fog machine when some yokel gets a bottle of Goose to his table.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I witnessed a little bit of that for a while. And I was like, man, this is...
Were you solo in this place?
Yeah.
Just went on a little adventure, huh?
Yeah, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm not leaving the block. Here are the three joints. I'm gonna have a few pops. MK, who works with me, was hanging out with me for a little while. And then she was like, she went to bed. And I was like, I still got a little juice in me. I got to hang out and have a couple more pops.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I wandered into that place. And,
interesting.
Yep. And it was
how long did you hang out for? Maybe like a drink?
Yeah. And it was a weird place. The bouncer was like, looked like a big, he was like a big Hasidic Jewish guy.
Uh-huh.
How often do you see that? You know?
Hardly ever.
No. And he was like, back up!
Yeah. So okay, there was a lot of dead air there. I don't know.
Well, that's what I remembered of the night, you know?
Back up!
I wasn't rushing him or anything, but that's what...
Oh, so you actually waited in line to go into this tray?
No.
You would never do that in Chicago. I'm surprised that you would... Oh, you said no? There's just...
No, I wouldn't wait in line, but like there was... At a certain point, I was in there and I was like, this looks like there might be like a lot of like gangbangers and weirdos.
Oh, okay.
I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But there was a lot of that. Back up! Move! Off to the side, please!
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the club scene, man.
Yeah. The girls are coming with the vodka.
The girls are
move
coming.
Move back. Back up. Girls coming with vodka. Move. Blow machines. Fog. Guy with cocked hat.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. But they allowed baseball caps in this joint?
Yeah.
No, that's not allowed in a lot of Chicago. No baseball caps.
I was dressed like Alex P. Keaton because I had just come from the convention. I had like a blue blade, like kind of Kennedy boy blue blazer going.
Uh-huh.
A pair of wingtips, khakis,
yeah,
and a checked shirt, and they were like, "Hey, JFK, where are you coming from?"
Uh-huh. Say, I'm from Chicago.
I'm coming from ASPS convention.
Yeah.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's in law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years, and they're raising their five kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
They don't have normal slot machines the way they used to, where it's just, well, they do, where you go,
right.
You know, pot of gold, bar, seven, bar, you know, that kind of
thing. Sure, yeah.
So, like, you walk through at least at Caesars, and it's like,
there's the Britney Spears Hit Me Baby One More Time slot. All right. And it's huge. Right? It's like 7 feet. And all I could see were like hillbillies playing it, you know, and it's like trying to explain the game to each other. So can you imagine, like, you're a kid and like your mom gets home from Vegas. She's like, my mommy won $40,000 on the Britney Spears Hit Me Baby One More Time slot machine. She got herself a slutty Britney. And you got to get 3 slutty Britneys in a row. So, like, if you get a slutty Britney and then a schoolgirl Britney and then a dressed up Britney, then you crap out. That ain't no good. Yeah. But if you get a pot of gold and a slutty Britney and then another slutty Britney, you win, like, damn.
So what happens?
Like a lot of money.
So if you get a Fetter line, you just go
flatline. If you get a Fetter line, all your credits go.
Your credit card gets eaten.
They Federline. They flatline.
They Federline.
Yeah.
Who else was she married to other than Federline?
Lots of guys.
Who cares?
She was playing Vegas while I was out there.
Was she really?
Yeah.
She's making a comeback.
Spears. Flying to Vegas to see Spears.
Yeah, my wife.
And then I'm going to play me a little Britney Spears at the Caesar's Palace when I'm done.
We go to Rivers Casino and she plays the Sex in the City machine.
Who does? Oh, your wife?
My wife, yeah. She's like, I got to get on the Sex in the City machine.
Oh, she likes to play the slots, huh?
There's a Sex in the City slot. Yeah, it's all over the place. I saw, while I was out there, was a CSI.
I'm like, where's the Sanford and Son machine? I want to check that out.
It's all current TV shows, like, you know. Honey, I just won the CSI machine. I got a Billy Peterson, a Mark Helgenberger, and Billy Peterson.
I got 3 Carusos.
I got 3 Horatios. Oh, I win.
It's sad. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But it's addictive.
But it's funny that, like, no, everybody in Vegas, because it's all about the money. You know,
sure.
The dealers are like, go change the Spears machine. You know, like they don't even think about it anymore.
Taken seriously.
I got a guy at 12 o'clock next to the CSI machine. Get him off.
Right.
I wanted to be a pit boss for a little while in my life.
I always thought that would be an interesting gig.
It's very stressful.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think you deal with a lot of drunk people, and it's probably like being a bouncer.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I wanted to do it. I living in here, it would be impossible.
Rickles is the pit boss in Casino, right?
He gets smacked around quite a
Billy.
Bit.
Billy.
But you know,
come here, Billy.
You know, but the funny thing is, you know, like being
Billy, get the shotgun.
Being a pit boss, though, you would feel, I mean, you see the bottom of the earth. You know what I mean? Oh. And you just see probably...
Every day.
And every day, whether or not you know it or not, probably what happens in front of your eyes is that something is damaged beyond repair, whether it be a marriage or, you know, life, you know, the, you know, like the guy's lifetime savings, just all kinds of stuff just being thrown away.
It's like the same guy who's the doorman at Scores.
Right.
You know?
Well, the guys,
gentlemen, keep your hands to yourselves. Welcome. Hi, Governor. Come on in. I got a seat for you.
Well, the guys that work, the guys that are the pit bosses, they in their free time, they're nowhere near those places. They're out.
Oh, I know. I mean, you'd have to be. You know, I mean, you'd have to sit there and say, I need to escape from this somehow. You know, I mean, you ever seen that movie, The Cooler?
Yeah.
With William H. Macy and Alec
Baldwin.
It's
a great movie.
That's it's kind of, you know, I mean. That's what he is. He's a pit boss. He becomes
he's a cooler. Baldwin plays the pit boss, and then they hire Ron Livingston to come in and be like the young smart kid. Yeah.
Bill's never seen it.
I've seen it. I own it. Freaking movie.
I own it, but I can't remember. It's got pit bosses in it.
Pit boss. Pit bull.
How about pit bull? How about him?
Was he out there
talking to me?
He's always out there, man. Pit bulls were like what Vegas was built on. Like that whole image, you know, pit bull.
People named after dogs.
Yeah. You get, your name, sir?
Pitbull.
Pitbull, is that 2 words? Capital P, capital B? Mr. Pitt, Mr. Bull.
You got a middle name?
Right.
No, Pitbull. Get on the plate.
Getting on your plane. Mr. Pitbull, can you please take your shoes off for customs?
Were there any, like, big, when you were there, were there any, like, big poker tournaments going on? Like, you know, I mean, like those things, the ones you see on TV.
Clay's loving the pit bull stuff. Yeah. That was one of our favorite moments. This is the Hooli's Hooli, sponsored by McCann's Irish Oatmeal. They are our presenting sponsor. This is a compilation episode you're listening to. Some of our most favorite bits and memories, taking you back to some of the more memorable music performances that have been on the show. So let's cut to back to another one of those great moments. This is the Hooli's Hooli. Tonight, our guest has been John Murray. I want to thank John for doing the program again. Bill, we have a caller on the line.
Oh, really?
Engineer tells
me. We haven't had a caller in a while.
I know. It's nice to have him. The engineer, you know, and because
Well, the engineer Mike has alerted me that this caller's name is Seth, and he's calling from Wrigleyville. Seth, are you with us?
Hey, guys. What's up?
How are things with you and the reason for your call this evening?
I'm just super excited about the Cubs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yep. I tried to call in the sports stations, but I can't get through, so I'm just kind of checking every station out so I can talk to, you know?
Oh, yeah. They're just that excited about the Cubs, huh?
It's going to happen. Gonna happen.
Oh, good. You've been listening.
That's nice. Well, John Murray's here, Seth. Say hello to John.
John, thank you for a wonderful slogan.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That was very nice of you.
You know what? I like the fact that you're calling in, Seth. We don't have a lot of listeners named Seth on the Hoolies Hoolie, seeing that most of our demographic is named after or is a young Irish American audience, per se. Seth, you just found us on the dial tonight?
That's right. And I'm sure you got a lot of Cubs fans listening because it's our year. We deserve this. It's been too long, and we, you know, someday me, John Cusack, Vince Vaughn, Billy Dyck will all be in a hot air balloon celebrating, throwing ribbons at people.
Oh, that's well, that could happen pretty soon, as a matter of fact. We could only be a few weeks away from that, Seth. Is that the dream you've had?
That's the dream I've had since about 6 months ago when I first started liking the Cubs a lot.
You just started liking the Cubs.
Well, I'm
Seth?
From Ohio.
Oh, you are.
Oh,
okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, so I don't care that much. You know, it's somewhere to go on the weekdays.
What do you do for your day job, Seth?
I work at Groupon.
Oh, beautiful!
It's awesome.
And is that like so? How do you? So apparently, you're kind of into the Chicago nightlife scene. You're well aware that Cusack and Deck and Vetter. And all those
Vaughn,
dudes.
Are, not Vetter, but you just, Vetter is a big
Well, Vetter, he opened us up at the top of the show. He's an old pal.
Who's he? Did he play drums for Candlebox?
No.
No.
You're thinking of Metter. No, Eddie Vetter. Come on, Pearl Jam. You know him, right, Seth?
No, I never heard of it.
Hey, Seth. Seth, can I ask you a question?
I was born in 1997.
Oh, wow.
John, you had a question for Seth?
Yeah, if he's available for it.
Yep. Shoot.
All right, Seth, if it's the World Series, let's say it's this year, who throws out the first pitch for game 6 and 7? Is it Michael Jordan or Bill Murray in game 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7?
I say that Bartman fella does it.
Oh.
No, I doubt it.
He should put on a tuxedo and look real nice and apologize on camera and then whip it.
Now, I remember the last time the Cubs blew it. They ended up blowing the ball up. Do you remember that, Seth? Were you watching when that happened?
Were you living in Chicago?
Yes.
Did you go down to Harry Carey's to watch them blow the ball up that Bartman apparently touched? Is that the ball that it was? Is that what that was?
Well, he's only 19. He was born in 1997.
He was 11. Oh. He was 11 in 08. Right?
I think I was in Ohio. I was eating at Steak and Shake, I think, probably.
But you were still having feverish dreams of going in hot air balloons with John Cusack and Billy Dyck?
Yep.
Hey, Seth, better baseball movie, Rookie of the Year or
Rookie of the Year? Come on, what are you talking
rookie
about?
Rookie of the Year or, come on, what's the movie with Charlie Sheen, the Cleveland Indians?
Major League.
Major League. Better movie.
Major League is too much bad language. I would say Rookie of the Year.
Oh, yeah. You like that kid from American Pie, huh? He's in that movie, right?
Yeah, he's cool.
Big Cub fan, let me ask you this.
Yep.
Seersucker or Oxford?
No socks, Oxford, Seersucker shorts, and a 84 blue Cubs thingy with white rim sunglasses and a perfect haircut with a hard part.
Ah, okay.
Yep.
You are a Cub
fan. Budweiser or Old Style?
Maybe Old Style, I guess. It's kind of icky, and then go have some mixed drinks at the bar.
Okay.
Let me ask you this, as a just a little boy in Iowa listening.
Ohio!
You're from Ohio?
Yeah, he said Ohio like 3 times.
Oh, but I thought he said Iowa, because lots of Cub fans are from Iowa. I've never heard. So that's why he asked the major league question.
Yes.
It shows you where I am in my head. I said, boy, you're. Okay, what's your beef with the Indians, Seth?
I don't know. They're just not as trendy as the Cubs. Cubs are like the Kardashians of baseball.
Yeah,
you want to be around them. You want to look at them and take selfies towards them.
They break your heart a lot.
They do. They do. They're like a little golden retriever puppy. You just want to hug them.
Yep.
But they're fun. They're cute.
What are your plans for when the Cubs do win it? Are you going to go out anywhere other than, I mean, obviously.
I'm going to Rocket.
Oh, okay. There it is. He answered it.
Well.
I'm going to cram myself into a small car with four other guys and go to Rocket.
Oh, nice.
And Go Cubs Go plays all weekend at
all
the house?
Weekend. Yep, all weekend.
And then maybe a little Vetter, Someday We'll Go All the Way. That song, too.
I don't like Candlebox that much.
He's in Pearl Jam. Okay.
Oh. Never heard of them.
Wait a minute. Are you guys Sox fans?
Yeah, a little bit. Now we're here with Kevin Flynn. Kevin, what are we going to do?
I'm going to do a tune about a gentleman who grew up just north in the Bridgeport neighborhood.
Oh.
This is called The Pope of the Windy City.
Pope of the Windy City. It's Kevin Flynn.
Tell you all a story about a man named Richard J. Chicago was his Vatican until his dying day. He rose up through the ranks of Democratic politics, all with the help of timely deaths and clever party tricks. He was raised on the working class South Side, blue-collar Catholic Irish pride, working for the town he learned about its holy see. He's the Pope of the Windy City Boys, the man on fire, the boss. 'Twas 55 when Richard would be coronated mayor. He put up buildings, hired friends, and opened up O'Hare. Corruption with the courts and cops would rear its head, but then he found a patsy, denied blame, and was on top again. By the time re-election day had passed, early and often votes were cast. Kennedy had won, and the Pope retained his papacy. He's a Pope of the Windy City Boys, the man on fire, the boss. He's a Pope of the Windy City Boys, the man on fire, the boss. The slums and ghettos felt ignored, they started picketing. He promised changes and reform, but never did a thing. On the west side, there was rioting, the neighborhood in flames. He ordered police officers shoot to kill or maim. He took care of his own and in his eyes, no one had the right to criticize. Papally infallible from his authority. He's the Pope of the Windy City Boys, the man on fire, the boss. He's the Pope of the Windy City Boys, the man on fire, the boss. Well, the precinct captains, Chinamen, ward bosses, and the mob, securing votes, cutting deals, and filling city jobs. From the elected county offices to Alderman Tom Keene, Danaher, and Dawson, all a part of the machine. And he's the Pope of the Windy City Boys, man on fire, the boss. When the Democratic National Convention came to town, Richard's army clubbed the heads of everyone around. Despite the allegations of misconduct from his peers, ex cathedra he would rule for over 20 years. Some say he did things right and just, didn't let the city turn to rust. Others say his nepotism is his legacy. He's the Pope of the Windy City Boys, man on fire, the boss. He's the Pope of the Windy City Boys, man on fire, the boss. He's the Pope now!
Yeah, Kevin Flynn doing the Pope of the Windy City.
All right. That was fantastic.
Kevin, have you had an affinity for politics in Chicago? You seem to have quite the...
By affinity, you mean tolerance? Or?
Yes, that would be, I guess, why I would say love, but tolerance would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't... I can watch it like a sport.
Yes, I got the same way I feel about it. How'd you feel about the last mayoral election? It was pretty fun to watch. It was kind of a boxing fight.
I definitely would say I've studied a lot about and learned about old Mayor Daley.
Yes.
And I've read Mike Rogo's book, which was
sure
excellent. I saw the play that Neil Giantoli was doing his honor.
Yeah, his honor. Yeah, yeah.
And I've learned about even the past, even before
sure
Daley and what have you,
Cermak and all those guys.
Yeah. And just how little has changed is kind of funny. It's just you wouldn't think, over a couple hundred years of politics that, things would change a little, but they haven't changed very much. So.
Now, where can our listeners find out more about Kevin Flynn's music? You guys still have a website up, right, Kevin?
Yeah, iTunes CD Baby is the big one.
Yeah, sure.
you know,
YouTube, Kevin Flynn and the Avondale Ramblers.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I just saw today they decided to put, you know, our tunes up there.
Really? That's
with
cool.
With the album, you know. Yeah, permission would have been nice, but, you know, hey. Yeah. I'm kind of used to that.
That's all right. Well, I guess we're on a roll here. Are you comfortable doing another number?
Yeah, I can. Sure.
All right.
You know what? I can do this one. This is for, I've heard he's a listener of the show.
Really?
Oh. Leonard DiCaprio.
Yeah, sure.
Oh. He's doing, him and Martin Scorsese are doing The Devil in the White City.
That's right.
Ah. And I wrote a tune about the devil years and years
ago. H.H. Holmes?
And so he should know this is the only tune available out there already for him.
Marty Scorsese should know this?
For his movie.
All right.
Well, it was hot that day, I'd heard, when he walked up 63rd with murder and money in his head. Well, he was handsome, debonair, and with his striking blue-eyed stare, he'd scheme to save, and many would end up dead. As he walked the streets of Inglewood, young women stopped and gazed. They saw his charm, but not what lurked below. Beneath the soothing voice and touch and manner he displayed was the devil himself and Dr. Holmes. From a widowed elderly, the doctor bought a pharmacy and sold sham drugs to naive local buyers. Business slapped and started his store, but still Holmes felt he needed more to satisfy his greed and sick desires. So a castle he would build with shops to keep his pockets filled and rooms that he could rent for the world's fair. With a wooden chute and airtight vaults, gas jets built inside the walls, and steps that wouldn't lead to anywhere. The women clerks that worked for him just up and disappeared. Their absences seemed unexplained, but no. Exterminated, suffocated, tortured and abused, then down the murder castle deep below. Ooh. Holmes seduced the jeweler's wife, and then he took her precious life. He stripped her flesh and sold her skeleton. Though she pounded and she yelled, soon Sister Anna was expelled. To hear her scream was half the doctor's fun. Then the letters from the missing daughter's parents flooded in. The creditors had come for what he'd owed. The time had finally come for them to be on their way, both the devil himself and Dr. Holmes. When they searched the Holmes Hotel, detectives saw a scene from hell, the dead remains of his sadistic mind. Quicklime as a bloodstained clothes, three skeletons and many bones, all the other horrors they would find. For a fraction of the murders he did actually commit, they sentenced him to hang from the gallows. Some say 27, some 100 more were killed by the devil himself and Dr. Holmes. It was the devil himself and Dr. Holmes. The devil himself and Dr. Holmes.
Yeah, Kevin Flynn.
All right.
How about
Thank
that? Let's take a quick commercial break. The Hooli's Hooli will be back after these quick messages.
Big Guy Sausage is located at 7021 Roosevelt Road in Berwyn, right across from DeJules. We serve blue-collar gourmet food. That means Italian sausage, Polish sausage, Chipotle sausage, bratwurst, hot dogs, burgers, Italian beef and sausage combos, prime rib sandwiches, bacon-wrapped cheddar brats. Hey, what else you want? We got it. You ain't gonna leave here hungry. We're right down the street from Fitzgerald's. Come on by Big Guy Sausage after the Hooli's Hooli or before. Or call 708-317-5213 and we'll have it delivered or ready for pickup. Ask anybody who eats here. It's awesome. Big Guy Sausage on Roosevelt Road in Berwyn. Big Guy Sausage. Sorry, we don't serve weenies. Putting your future in the hands of a lawyer can get personal, particularly in personal injury cases. You've got one shot at justice, so you're going to want a guy who thinks like you. Tom Gorman is Southside Irish all the way. He grew up in Holy Redeemer Parish, went to Brother Rice, and yeah, he got a ride to play ball at Notre Dame, played on the undefeated 1988 National Championship football team. After a shoulder injury ended his career, Tom stayed on with the Fighting Irish for his master's and law degree. Tom won the American Jurisprudence Award for trial advocacy at Notre Dame Law School, and he's been a trial lawyer ever since. Tom's practice is devoted exclusively to personal injury and wrongful death. Sure, he's won $1 million verdicts for his clients, but his focus remains on those families and their futures. Tom and his wife, Christine, have lived in Beverly for almost 20 years. And they're raising their 5 kids in Christ the King Parish, Brother Rice, Mother McCauley, and their oldest son is now at ND as well. Lots of folks have to deal with tragedy. It's good to know there's a guy out there you can count on who'll be in your corner to protect your family. You can call Tom Gorman directly at 312-345-7210 and tell him about your situation. Or go to the website, www.gormantriallaw.com. He's a good guy. There's no charge for the consultation, and you'll meet a new friend that's ready to fight for you and your family. Call Tom Gorman today at 312-345-7210 and tell him your story.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today, available at your local grocery store.
You know what I bought today that reminded me of you? And you can razz on me. Pack of Sour Patch Kids.
Nice.
Oh, we're like the L-stop. You feel weird.
I mean, I got to admit, I'm 35 years old. Buying Sour Patch Kids, it's like the reverse effect. It's like when you're 13 and you're trying to buy a Playboy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, now ashamed. I'm 35 and I'm getting a pack of Sour Patch Kids and I'm making sure that no other 35-year-olds are looking.
You're mixing other things in with it. Like, yeah, I'll get a, you know, buy a toothbrush too and
right.
Try and hide it in the pile.
And some dad with his kids is like, "Officer, can I talk to you a minute?" This guy over there, he's looking at the Skittles.
Yeah.
He's staring at the candy for 45 minutes.
He's been looking at the Skittles, and then I saw him go over to the chocolate milk. He got a chocolate milk. What's wrong with this guy?
Uh-huh.
Every time I put candy in the freezer, I think of you, Bill.
This is what my kids... Look, he
it's
just
the way to fly, man.
Only way.
This guy just bought a Ring Pop.
A Ring Pop?
You see a guy looking at a Ring Pop on the L, you better call the cops.
Oh, yeah. You can get if you see a guy at the L have with a Ring Pop, you better
like
call the police.
A Ring Pop. Yeah. Take a picture of him.
Yeah. 12:48 a.m.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the King, huh?
Returning back to the Hoolies Hoolie. Yeah, Viva Las Vegas. That's been the theme of the show.
I've never been there. So now, like, I'm kind of amped up for it.
What are you going to do? Yeah, there's no way to prepare yourself for Vegas at all.
No, and that's what everybody tells me. It's just like, you know.
Don't. It's like Great America for
that's what he said to me on the phone last night.
For adults.
Yeah,
I texted my wife about that. My engineer, Mike, has alerted me that we do have a call in this week.
Oh, nice.
So that's always nice when someone calls in. Listener, are you there?
Hey, how's it going, Hooli?
Hey, how are you? Who's this?
This is Chad. I'm over on the north side.
Hi, Chad. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
what's going on? Happy Saturday night to you.
Hey, I heard you were at Vegas.
I was indeed. Do you have a good Vegas story for us, Chad?
I just want to know if you... So my brother, his son had a birthday party, and he said, Dad, all I want to do is go to Chucky Town.
Yeah.
And he just thought he meant like Chuck E. Cheese, you know, the place.
Yeah.
And he tells his son, he goes, you know, it's over on North Avenue when it closed down. He's like, I don't think it's there anymore. He goes, oh, it's there.
Really?
So, yeah. So it's actually called Chucky Town. It's like this, it's also called Lil Vegas. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No, I have not heard of this.
So there's a place called Chucky Town, also known as Little Vegas. And what, he took his kids there or something? It's like a, is it like a show like pizza?
it's just like a showbiz Chuck E. Cheese thing, right? So he gets right there. Uh-huh. He pays for 6 hours. You pay for 6 hours, him and all his friends. Are, it's like all under 10 or something like that. So it's just for, it's like a true Little Vegas.
Yeah.
So the guy, the owner, is like, you can drop him off for 6 hours, or for an extra $500, they can just sleep over. So it's like they stay the night, and then you pick them up in the morning. He said it was fantastic. So he dropped the kids off. They love it. They can't talk about anything other than going back to this place, the Chucky Town. Man.
So when you drop your children at Chucky Town, do you have to sign a clause that says, like, whatever happens in Chucky Town stays in Chucky Town? Like, you can't...
That's the motto.
You can't tell anybody about Chucky Town. It's like a secret society of parents that know about it. They're like, when they want to get their kids out of their hair, they send them to Chucky Town for a couple of days, and they come back, and the kids are just angels. They get it out of their system.
Yeah, no.
They got to get the... Yeah.
Yeah. Basically... apparently all the people who work there are like, vetted babysitters or something. Like, I don't know, website for like babysitters in these neighborhoods. And so they basically, it's just this Chuck E. Cheese where all these, good babysitters watch the kids and they play games. I don't know. Like I said, the kids are like on their best behavior because all they want to do is go back to Chuck E. Town.
Well, what is like the, what do you get to do at Chuck E. Town?
No, I was going to ask, like, what are the work required? I mean, you'd have to have some serial criminal background checks for the employees at Chuck E. Town.
Like, why is it called Chuck E. Town? Does that have to do with like Chuck E.? Is it a play off of Chuck E. Cheese? Or I don't get it.
Well, I guess the hook is the guy who runs it. He's like, well, the Chuck E. Cheese, it's a place where a kid can be a kid.
Right.
He goes, but Chucky Town is a place where a kid can be a king.
A place where a kid can be a king?
Kid can be a king. There's no adults. They can stay up all night. A lot of these little rugrats, it's the first time they stayed up from like 6 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning. They come stumbling out at 6 in the morning without a drop of sleep.
They got pizza sauce all over their face.
What are they giving these kids, like IVs of sugar?
Mountain Dews flowing like wine.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, it's the Vegas experience for these little guys, and it's dynamite.
It's a beautiful idea. This guy Chucky he's honing in on something interesting. Where is this located? It's on North Avenue here in Chicago somewhere.
No, that's where I thought. You know how like there used to be Kiddyland over on where is that North Avenue?
Yeah,
North and First.
I thought there was a Chuck E. Cheese's, west of that, but it closed down. This place is. Believe it or not, it's in Rosemont.
Wow.
That was shocking.
It's in the basement.
And apparently, they've got one opening up in Elmwood Park. Which
amazing.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it's like a scaled down one, right? Like, they're going to test it.
It's the Express.
Yeah, I think this is a wonderful concept. So, are there like ball pits or like, what is... where are you, Bill? Are you... you sound like you're on the street or something. Are
you in a falcon cage?
I'm outside of McDonald's right now. I'm having a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Enjoying this nice weather.
It's one of my favorite Irish restaurants, Old Mickey D's.
Yeah.
Do they have what kind of restaurants do they have? What's the food like at Chuck E. Town? Like, what are they feeding these kids?
They got this thing. I don't know. It sounds a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Drip Chicken.
Yeah.
Ripped chicken.
You know, like a frozen yogurt machine,
right? Yeah, sure.
So the kid he pulls on these frozen yogurt handles,
yeah,
and they mix like barbecue chicken, buffalo chicken, and they pour it in this cup, and then they send it to this kitchen, and then it comes back, and it's like the best fried chicken they ever had.
Because
it's like a miracle of science.
It's Chucky chicken.
It has a little bit of a Willy Wonka element. Like, it's just, these are just amazing things that kids are into. They have like a room where kids get to open presents that they get to keep for like 6 hours. You don't get to keep it. Could that be a thing?
It's like opening up their 9-year-old's third eye for like 12 hours, they got these credit cards with tokens on them. You know, they give them each like 25,000 in tokens, which is entirely too many tokens for one kid to spend.
Right.
So they're just, they're going crazy on the machines, buying candy,
Do the kids gamble?
It's a playground for those guys.
Do the kids gamble?
Oh, yeah, there's slot machines. There's knock hockey. There's everything.
Wow.
Little Vegas. Great concept. Is there a mascot to Little Vegas? Like, does Chucky come out and does he croon? Or...
Do they do the music show like they do at Chuck E.
Cheese?
Yeah,
do they have shows there?
Are there like karate exhibition? Like, you know, like, I mean, like
a karate exhibition.
Is Limp Bizkit gonna play there?
No, like, I mean,
now one of the kids that said Jason Mraz was being played over the speakers, like just only Jason Mraz. Weird.
Oh,
dance.
Wow, that sounds like punishment though.
Yeah,
but for kids, they would like
they
that.
Would like
yeah.
that. They
yeah.
would like that.
Yeah.
With your drunken charm, pass a note across the bar and a smile. I guess three stools ain't that far. Two more whiskeys poured, and I'm looking toward the door. You say, babe, one shot won't kill you, but I've every Friday night, you got me in your sights, but you're loaded. Something don't feel just right. You say you dote on me, but free drinks are all I see. When you flash that southern smile, you disarm me instantly. Make it special. Oh no, not so fast. See your ammo's low, 'cause that bottle's all you know. Messed up, passed out, boots on, it's hopping. Bang, I up and go. When I say
Michelle McGuire, Erica Cribbs, Steve McNamee, pull that gun. Thanks, guys. Bill, do you remember that job? This is for Brother Bill, but do you remember that job you had when you were like, you had just gotten your sports marketing degree and you read something in the Tribune, like, sports marketing job being hired.
Yeah. And, yeah, I know the job.
You went out to the, like, they.
I looked on the internet. Well, I was, like, looking on Monster Jobs or something like that, and it was, like, sports marketing firm, you know? And I was like, cool. You know, and I'm such a sucker. So I get to this place, you know, like, I go out and I buy a suit. I'm thinking, this is it. I got my, you know, a communications degree, my sports marketing degree.
Here I come, Jerry Maguire. I'm coming for you, dog.
I'm ready to work for this advertising firm. And I put a suit on. I get my resume all together, and I drive to this, like, office in Glenview. And as I'm pulling up, I'm seeing that the lot, I'm thinking, like, they're, like, coming for the interview. And as I'm pulling up, I'm seeing, like, there's just all of a sudden this really small office building. And there's, like, 50 cars pulling up to park in the parking lot. And I'm like, this can't, I'm like, what's going on here, you know? And it ended up being, like, they must have called, like, replied to everyone, and, like, you're interviewing tomorrow. And the best part about it was...
If you get the bodies, we can...
Yeah, so, exactly. So I get in there, and they're like, this guy works for Duke, and this guy, like, you know, it's like, they're showing us, like a slideshow of this classroom and everything.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're going to take you out. Everybody's going to go in groups of four with these sales reps, and we're going to take you out into the field and show you what it's like. I'm like, I get in this car with this guy, and there's a Mexican guy next to me with a tattoo on his neck.
Yeah.
And then there's like
Javier Molina.
And then there's like this other guy, like skinny white kid who's like obviously like a little stoner. He didn't even wear a suit. He's got like a t-shirt on. I'm like, what, is this legit? They're taking this guy seriously, you know?
Yeah, dude.
And we get into the car with this guy.
It's all about sticking around, bro.
And he drives us from Glenview. Next thing you know, I'm like, where are we going? He's like, we're going to a sports authority. And I'm like, what? And I think it's like there's some sort of like special, like, you know, maybe it'll be a special guest at the sports authority. Like
Frank Thomas is there to tell you you're hired.
Right. I get there, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, here, open up the trunk. We open up the trunk of his car. He hands me a Chicago Bears bath mat. And I'm like, what do you want me to do with this? He's like, we're going to go and sell these. And he's walking into, like,
he's walking up to people in the parking lot at Sports Authority.
I'm not kidding you. Like, yeah, we walked into a Joe Rizzo Ford on, like, 47th in Harlem. And my feet are killing me.
Yeah.
He's, like, walking me up and down the block. I finally turn to this guy and go, you're driving me back to Glenview right now.
I was like, why, we got to stop at Castle before I do that.
No, I took a lunch break and I called from White Castle.
Yeah, that's
and
what
I was screaming on the phone.
You go, I'm at White Castle in Oak Lawn. They're going to kidnap me. My car's in Glenview.
Finally, I got back there and I was like, I can't believe I was pissed because we didn't get paid. Number one, I was like, you just took me on this wild goose chase for like...
You're a hostage.
Yeah.
And you know who got the job? That kid in that white t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. He's probably the executive of some bath mat company somewhere.
The whole thing you just told is a great analogy for showbiz right there.
Oh, God.
And we're back. WSBC, 1240 AM. You're listening to the Hoolies Hoolie. This has been a fun look back on an amazing year for us. 1 year in the books. This is our Thanksgiving episode. Doing a little compilation for you. Some of our favorite moments, favorite guests, and favorite singer-songwriters.
The theme of the show has turned into names. I used to
race home from wherever I was at to watch the Renegade.
Here's the thing about the Renegade. Like,
you raced home?
Mike Hartman, when
we
were growing up.
This is amazing.
Mike Hartman, when we were growing up, he was like, forget about Baywatch. Watch the Renegade. I was like, really? He's like, it's a much better show. And then he got me into Bobby Sixkiller and, you know.
And the blind girl.
Well, you know what it kind of reminded me of is that, like, the outfits and everything, like, no, what? They were bounty hunters pretty much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it was, before its time.
It was pre-dog.
It was pre-dog, before the dog, the bounty hunter.
Dramatized dog.
It was like 20 years before dog.
Dramatized dog, starring Lorenzo Lamas.
That's the next installment of it.
Where's Lamas now?
He's out there. He's like, my daughter is beautiful. I got her fake boobs.
He was married to like an adult film star, I thought, for a while, or a former playmate or something like that.
Lorenzo?
And then that didn't work out well. Lorenzo Lamas.
He really is.
As those marriages always work out well.
Yeah, I know.
I've been married to my porn star wife for 60 years.
Yeah, right.
We've been going strong 60 years. Come on. That's how it is.
Yeah, I wonder.
These things work out for the best.
We both love films.
Yeah, we're into films.
videos, films, so whatever.
You guys were talking about Baywatch, though. I'm not trying. Can we name any other than Pam Anderson or Nicole Eggert?
Yeah.
Yasmin Bleeth.
Mm-hmm.
Who
Ooh,
else?
That's a good name. For
who
the
else
past.
Was
she
on there?
Rough, she had a rough time after that.
Who was like the chick that was like she was like in her you know late 30s, but
the
she
short
did,
hair?
Alexandra yeah. Paul.
Alexandra Paul. Yeah,
she was like the serious one.
Yeah, right. She was like the flat. They're like, yeah. Okay, get the chick with the you know the flat chested girl.
She's the one who looked like your effeminate role. Cousin Kevin.
Yeah. No, we got the we got the three bimbos now throwing the school teacher.
Right.
Yeah.
And then get the chick who looks like the eighth grade boy basketball player.
And then do you
to be the boss.
Hey, do you remember what Hasselhoff's son's name was?
Kobe.
Cody.
Cody.
No, oh, I thought it was Kobe.
Kobe? What
it's
is it?
Hobie. It's Hobie, dude.
It was
You're
Hobie.
Wrong.
It was Hobie.
Yeah, it was Hobie.
It's Hobie with an H.
Hobie with an H.
I thought it was Cody.
No.
Hobie won Baywatch.
It was Hobie.
Hobie.
Yeah. He turned
Hobie
out
Hobie Hasselhoff.
Hobie Hoff.
Hobie Hoff.
Hobie Hoff.
Hobie Hoff. That's like
Hobie Hoff. Did you see what happened over there?
Hobie Hoff. It's a home
what
run.
What was Hasselhoff's character's name, though, in Baywatch?
I'm Charles there. Sheen was the character's name.
What? No, David it was Hasselhoff probably like Captain something, right?
Captain
Lieutenant?
Something.
Mitch Buchanan. Yeah. Thank
did
you, Mike.
Look at Mike coming to the Mike's like, I didn't even have to look that up. I already knew
he
that.
Was an Irishman. Huh?
Hi, Mitch that? Buchanan.
Yeah. Hi, man. Irishman Mitch Buchanan.
Hi, man of the sea, Ben Mitch Buchanan.
Yeah.
I got to play some of this Baywatch stuff.
Get the drums going. Dude.
Sometimes I've... Is that what it's like?
Oh, so it's yeah, like... it's something like that, but I don't want to... Oh, boy. I'll cut to it in a moment.
Yeah.
I get too excited about this Baywatch stuff.
I
and then all of a sudden I try to find a clip to go to and it's like, oh, hold on.
Copyright.
Copyright limits on the Baywatch. Didn't oh, here we go. Oh, hold on. Here we go. Let's play some of this.
Hey.
Get this up here.
Oh.
There's the drums.
Thunder. Little keyboard, everybody.
Yeah. I've changed my name.
Were they California? Is that where Baywatch was supposed to be?
Yeah.
There it is.
Oh.
Pearl Jam
Look
should
at,
cover this.
There's things exploding behind Hasselhoff as he's running down a pier. He has explosions on the beach. Have you ever had a celebrity come in there and go, you don't know who I am?
I haven't, but I'm sure that's... You don't know how I'm a huge big deal. You got to pick up my beard. Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding was in there?
I could have done without.
Oh, I thought you were about to say that Jeff Galooly and Tanya Harding were pounding Jaeger bombs in there one night.
It confuses me that you've seen that video because a lot of people have asked me, and I haven't seen that video myself.
Are you talking about the dirty Tanya Harding? That video? That one that. Oh, that was every eighth grader's jam for like a year.
Yes, it was a big thing back in the day, right?
Wow.
But she was in and thought, I mean, she was loving every little bit of publicity. I mean, people were, you know, just anybody giving her any or a bit of recognition, I should say. Anybody that was paying her any bit of attention, she loved it. We were pulling her behind the bar.
Those are she was really at Riley's? This is not a gag? Was she really?
This is not a joke. I'm dead serious. She was in there for about 5 hours.
Yeah. Tanya Harding was getting blasted.
Harding. She lived in Washington, the state of Washington, and she was going to Atlantic City. There was because remember how she did that like fake celebrity boxing thing? She was a boxer.
Oh yeah, yes.
So she was going to Atlantic City, some you know casino there that paid her to be.
To fight somebody,
you know,
fight Screech.
Whatever their new boxing facility they opened. So I guess all the good celebrities were on vacation that weekend, so they had to get Tanya Harding. So she was flying out there, got delayed, and spent like 6 hours in Riley's, 5-6 hours. It was a pretty eventful evening, I can say that.
Get her back for the reopen.
We're with Brendan.
Oh yeah, she'd be great here with all the Southside. Sure.
They'd love her. We're with Brendan O'Brien. We've been talking about the grand new opening of Riley's Daughter. It's deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
Right there on, Brendan, what's that, on 111th?
111th and Pulaski, 4010 West 111th and Pulaski and 111th Street border here, yeah.
We have time for a quick song by Danny to close out the show. It's been wonderful being here.
It's called That's a Trump Knock Life.
Uh-huh. But we better get him going on this if we're going to finish the show in time, right?
Yeah, so Donnie, I want to thank you for being our guest tonight.
It's been great.
Thank you very much. You
can learn all about Donnie and his stuff at Harmonica Dunn on Facebook, or Donnie Biggins or The Shams Band on Facebook. You can find all their music on SoundCloud and iTunes. Do yourself a favor and go to iTunes and play and pay for it. That's how you help out artists. All right, Donnie, what's this? We're going to do a quick last number here. Close out the show.
I wrote this song building IKEA furniture. It's called Yes, It's Hard. Oh, yes, it's hard being the man that I want to be. And yes, it's hard being the man I want to be. And yes, it's hard being the man that I want to be. And yes, it's hard being a man. Oh, yes, it's hard being the husband supposed to be. And yes, it's hard being the husband I'm supposed to be. And yes, it's hard being the husband I'm supposed to be. And yes, it's hard being a man. Oh, yes, it's hard being the father I long to be. And yes, it's hard being the father I long to be. And yes, it's hard being the father I long to be. And yes, it's hard being a man. Oh, yes, it's hard being the friend I'm supposed to be. And yes, it's hard being the friend I'm supposed to be. And yes, it's hard being the friend I'm supposed to be. And yes, it's hard being a friend, being a father, being a husband, and being a man.
Yeah.
All right.
It is.
Donnie Biggins, it's been a pleasure.
That's Donnie Biggins. That's going to be coming off. Is that one of yours, Donnie?
Yeah, it is.
Is that one you're working on right there?
It is, yeah.
I like that one a lot.
It's going to be a church song.
It is.
Well, I hope you're satisfied. That was another banger episode of the Hoolies Hoolie of a compilation rip style. I don't know why I'm Southern, but I'm wishing you happy Thanksgiving. See you next week.